Welcome to the Docs Who Lift podcast, where we distill and simplify the complexities of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, medicine, and weight loss. We're excited to bring you a podcast that's a prescription for clinical practice, scientific recommendations, and just real life. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Nadolsky. I'm my co-host, super endocrinologist. Yeah. He's actually board certified. His name's Dr. Carl Nadolsky.
Oh my God,
shouts. All throwing daggers. We're throwing daggers here today, my friends. We're going to be talking about oral Wegovy. We had Dr. Sean Wharton, who is a PharmD and ran the clinical trials with oral Wegovy, semaglutide, went over that. But we're just, now that it's out, we're prescribing it. I prescribed it a few times already. This week, apparently, their launch, they said they had 3,000 prescriptions, which actually seems kind of low, quite frankly, given that all these places, like these pill mills, are pushing the heck out of it. But whatever.
I think to be fair, I don't know what the coverage is right now. And so this is pretty much all
it's not covered
right off.
I haven't, it's all cash pay. I haven't seen anything.
Yeah. I haven't even tried to think about that.
These companies spending millions of dollars on ads. I guess I'm just surprised that it wasn't like 20,000. Anyway, that's fine. It doesn't matter. We're going to talk about how we do it and how we're kind of converting it between the injections for people that want to switch over. We're also going to go over the post hoc analysis of the SURMOUNT-4 trial. I believe it was a SURMOUNT-4 that you wanted
SURMOUNT-4 to do. And talk about, because everyone wants to know about regain. Can people stop it? What can we do for maintenance? And I think, I told you why I wanted to talk about that. I think we're friends with the first author on that, and they really did a nice job with going back through that and delineating. Well, how many people do regain the weight or don't regain it? I think people get a lot of information from it. I share that slide that I will try to do in this podcast with every single patient who brings it up. And I've been doing it since it was published a couple months ago. It's a really great article.
It wasn't that long. It was literally like a month or so ago.
Recently.
I had a few quotes about it.
It's really cool. I think it helps kind of see how everyone's different.
Yeah, I did a little Instagram video about it as well, because it's a good discussion. All right, so first, oral Wegovy. If you remember the podcast with Dr. Sean Wharton, it's about 10 times more of the semaglutide that you need in each pill compared to the injection. And remember, there's a special formulation. It's a snack formulation that helps SNAC, that helps actually buffer and change the pH in the stomach, in the local part of the stomach, to help actually get the semaglutide into circulation, because otherwise the stomach acid would degrade it. And that's why all these other compounders that are making oral tirzepatide, oral semaglutide, they don't have that technology. They're making drops. These companies out there that pretend like they're science-based, they're making literally semaglutide drops that you will not get anything from.
Allegedly.
These places should be shut down. I don't know how they're not.
Because remember, so what is semaglutide and what are these different
peptides?
They're
long peptide change. Yeah.
And so what are peptides? Well, peptides basically make up proteins.
Long changes of amino acids.
We just digest it and then it doesn't matter if you take it by mouth. That's why they're injectables, other than this one.
Yeah.
That we've had around for a while in the form of Rybelsus for type 2 diabetes, actually. So we do have some experience with it.
Yeah. So what we're doing, so you need 10 times more. So that's why the highest dose is 25 milligrams. The highest dose of the injectable is 2.4. So it works out pretty well. Comes in a 1.5, 4, 9, and then jumps to 25 milligrams. We think there probably should be the Rybelsus 14 milligram in there somewhere to help. But basically what I'm doing is, if you're on 2.4 milligrams of Wegovy, you should hypothetically be able to jump to the 25 milligrams, pill.
Yeah.
However, I've just started doing this. I don't have a ton of experience doing this yet. Nobody does unless you've tried to convert people to Rybelsus, but there wasn't a 25 milligram of the Rybelsus.
Right.
So I asked the patient, I go, look, and I'll see what you do, but I go, look, you want to be aggressive and try to, you know, basically get the equivalent, we'd go with 25 milligrams. Do you want to be conservative just in case you might not tolerate it? Because anecdotally, people, I found that people didn't tolerate the oral semaglutide and Rybelsus as much as the injection. But
yeah, I don't know what you're doing. Some of that and what the actual studies are, but that seems
yeah, they're similar. Here. They're similar.
And, you know, and obviously what we're talking about hasn't exactly been studied that way. When they did, and I can't remember if Sean Wharton, as the farm, literally the PharmD that ran those studies, if he talked about how they came up with these equivalencies. I mean, they showed it in the blood. Basically, it is the equivalent dosage that gets the same amount in the blood. And in the trials, now the trials are not perfect comparisons because the oral trial actually had a lot fewer patients, but the basics of it were, it was pretty similar. The amount of weight loss was pretty similar, not quite, you know, just a little under the injectable. The amount of people achieving, you know, 10, 15, 20% weight loss was a hit slower, but pretty similar. And by the way, so was the tolerability and adverse events. However, it's interesting because this exact thing that you're talking about has not been studied that I'm aware of, the transition. And it, you know, so everyone's kind of thinking about this. And I think probably a lot of us in the space sort of think the same way. But you and I, obviously, without even talking about it, think the same way, because that's almost to a T the exact same thing I tell my patients. And we've only been doing this literally a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks now. And so, and so that's the thought process. And then, of course, the other problem that gets into it is the cost. And I have some, you know, ideas on that. We know our Novo friends are listening. And listening. We're going to get Novo on the podcast soon, I hope. So
better be the CEO. He better come.
We'll try.
You know, rough him up.
So I think the transition is one interesting point. And then of course the titration dose, which I have some thoughts about.
So it starts at one. So if you are not on anything, you're GLP-1 naive, meaning you never took one, you start at the 1.5. It's pretty low because Rybelsus doesn't start that low.
Rybelsus starts at 3 milligrams, and I will tell you that
they just changed it, right? Rybelsus changed their dosing scheme.
I believe that's the case. Well, so we've had Rybelsus available for several years after it was approved for type 2 diabetes. I will tell you that in the real world, even in, you know, especially in endocrinology, we were always able to get people to want, you know, do weekly shots of the Ozempic in that case. And because these medications, oral Wegovy and oral Rybelsus, have some finicky absorption issues. So you have to take on an empty stomach with just a little sip of water at least a half an hour before anything else to help with that absorption stuff you were just talking about. And so that's another little barrier to taking any type of medication. And if you don't take the medication doesn't work. And so I'll tell you, we didn't use Rybelsus a lot. And in the diabetes world, something is usually covered. In the obesity without diabetes world, we obviously have this cost and coverage issue that we run into. So I do think the oral Wegovy is going to be used a lot more because there's going to be a lot more out-of-pocket cost, and it's hopefully going to keep, you know, the cost is already a little bit better. Hopefully it'll keep getting better with the oral pills. And so it will be used a lot more. But in the diabetes world, we just gave them one of the weekly shots when it was indicated.
So Rybelsus has the new formulation, and this is their newest formulation. So it follows the same thing. 1.5, 4, then 9 is their highest dose. It's because they modified the excipients.
Modified it to use the new snack. Is what I knew that was happening.
So it's newer. They're getting more stuff in. So now it's kind of interesting.
But the starting dose is 1.5. I mean, that's essentially the equivalent.
Yeah.
To the starting dose of subcutaneous Wegovy. But I don't know. I have some, I'm not a huge fan of that low of a starting dose, to be honest, with our, you know, based upon our history with all this stuff, partly because of the cost issue. I think it should be dose should be essentially free.
Personally. Yeah.
I'm just going to go out there and say it.
It should be free. Or it should be like $10.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. And so, like, you know, we don't like to get too into the politics. People already get mad at us when we die on RFK for the misinformation that they put out there. But forget about the political aspect of this. But it was, you know, President Trump. And in really, everyone wants these medications to be cheaper, whether or not you want big government involved in big corporate whatever influence, we do want these medications to be cheaper. So a couple of months ago, we all knew that these medications were going to be approved in 2026. So he, you know, claimed he struck a deal, and our government people struck a deal with these companies, and they claimed, they made a big deal about when these get approved, the oral medications are going to be $149 a month. You and I and pretty much every other specialist in this realm, you know, took that with a grain of salt. And what happened was exactly what we feared. So that essentially worthless starting dose is $149.
Yeah.
And then the actual therapeutic doses. So the 4 milligram dose for right now is $149, but its usual dose is supposed to be $199. And then the actual therapeutic doses of the 9 and the 25 are listed at $299 a month. So, you know, essentially a $10 a pill.
Yeah, really needs to be $149 flat. When Novo comes on here, you better be ready. That's what we're going to ask you. You're coming on. We're telling you.
I told them we're not going to hold back. Now, you can pay us a lot of money, but we're still not going to hold back.
Yeah, we will not hold back, friends.
If you want our honest opinions.
Okay, so what if you're on Zepbound? All right, so we've talked about the equivalency. Zepbound 5 milligrams, tirzepatide. It doesn't matter if you're on Mounjaro, off-label, or Zepbound. Tirzepatide 5 milligrams is about equivalent to the 2.4 milligrams of semaglutide, which would be equivalent to the 25 milligrams of the oral Wegovy. Now,
a huge caveat with this.
I always say, though, Zepbound's slightly better tolerated, and so I generally bring people to 1.7 milligrams of Wegovy, unless they're just like, be aggressive, I don't care, I've never had any issues, then we'll go, all right, we'll do it, 2.4 for them. So I usually go from the 5 or even the 7.5, even if they're on 15 of Zepbound, I tend to put them on the 1.7, even though 2.4 hypothetically should be okay. So in my opinion, I would be taking people from Zepbound 5 and above to the 9 milligram of oral Wegovy, just to make sure that they tolerate it. What about you?
I mean, I think that's reasonable. And again, it's going to be depending on what the patient says. I think how they've done in the past on any of these medications. Also, why are they changing? Is it purely a cost? Because it's probably the only reason to make the transition for this specific example, but you never know. People do tolerate things differently. Like we were talking about, the numbers in the studies of tolerance and dropping out for adverse events are kind of relatively similar across the board, actually, even with the Zepbound, other than the 15 did have a little bit higher dropout rate. And you've talked about some of the other little subtle things at 15 that maybe people do a little bit better at lower doses on. And by the way, the outcomes on average are pretty darn similar between 10 and 15 of tirzepatide.
That's why.
So that's a different discussion. But, you know, there are, and while we feel like it does certainly seem like anecdotally kind of across the board, people tend to tolerate tirzepatide a little bit better than semaglutide or semaglutides. Mm-hmm. But everyone's different. So I do absolutely have people who tolerate Wegovy better than Zepbound or Ozempic.
Yeah, it does happen.
It's everyone's different. We have to remember that this is why we hate the cookie cutter pill mill shot mill. That's not how it should be. This is a medical disease that requires comprehensive medical evaluation and therapy. And not everyone needs these medicines, by the way. And we've talked about that before, and we've gone back and forth. But it really needs to be a personalized, individualized situation.
Right. So if you're on a 2.5 of Zepbound or tirzepatide, you know, then you start thinking, well, do we start on 4? Do we start at 9? Again, I think it comes back to your history of tolerating and your degree of how much risk you're willing to take and the doctor is willing to work with you. So I had somebody start at 4, like at one point, because I said, now, you know, we could start at 9. I think you'd be fine. And they go, no, I think I'd rather be a little bit more conservative. Okay. Yeah. That's how we're doing it. So there you go, everyone. Just make sure 4 ounces or fewer of water, and actually a little bit less, is probably going to increase the absorption. You got to have just a tiny little sip of water, and truly waiting longer and longer. It didn't reach statistical significance, but they show the amount getting into the plasma. There are some studies looking at the longer you fast. And again, it didn't reach statistical significance necessarily.
A
trend, and people have talked about like the longer you, but honestly, just 30 minutes. If you're going to take thyroid,
this comes up. So already, and you probably can understand, in my world, we call it a selection bias. So obviously I see a lot of people with thyroid disease and obesity, diabetes in the endocrine space. And so now we have 2 different medications that are finicky with absorption, need to be taken on an empty stomach while fasting. The thyroid can have more water. The oral Wegovy needs just a little splash. And how we time those out and reconcile that, again, that's an individualized thing. I literally, right before this podcast, just had a patient where we had this whole talk about it, because she was like, I do want to go with the oral Wegovy, and she's on thyroid hormone, and she's going to try to kind of figure it out what seems best for her. And then we'll,
they're saying take it at night, the night before, on an empty stomach, instead switching it from the morning to the night.
which one?
If you're on oral Wegovy, taking thyroid at night instead of in the morning.
I know, which is fine. And don't get me wrong. So those of you who have to take thyroid hormone, consistency is the key. We can always adjust the dose to meet whatever your consistency is.
Yeah.
It's just that it's finicky. And technically the same with oral Wegovy. I mean, you just have to be on the best you can on an empty stomach. I mean, they have some guidance on that. That could be technically any time, but I feel like there are ways for a lot of people. Hey, maybe we need to just push more time restricted feeding. Maybe people just need to not eat until 10 a.m. or 11 a.m.
Yeah, maybe with this. We'll see. Let's go over quickly the different tiers of people who kept their weight off after stopping. Well, they didn't purposely stop. They were switched to placebo in the SURMOUNT-4 trial. For the people on YouTube, this is only for the people on YouTube. If you're watching this, to remind everybody, they put everybody on tirzepatide, and then what is it, 36 weeks later, something like that.
Can you see it? Everyone in this trial started with tirzepatide. So you had to be able to tolerate and have some response to it. And so over 36 weeks, what you see is the average. Remember, this is an average. Okay. We're not talking about categorical weight loss. I think that's important when all these people talk about these averages. But 21% weight loss, which is consistent with tirzepatide, Zepbound, people without diabetes in about 36 weeks. But then they randomized them to either stay on the Zepbound, tirzepatide, or placebo. And the average weight for those who stayed on the medicine was another 5.5% weight loss, while those who went to placebo, if you can see this right here, they regained 14% by the time 88 weeks
on average.
On average. And that's the key. So people always want to know, well, do I have to be on this forever? We always talk about it is a chronic, relapsing, progressive disease state on average. But that doesn't mean everyone has the same exact disease pathology driving their obesity. And so this is where I think this is really cool. So can you see this now? So in the upper left-hand corner, you might have to blow it up if you're looking at it on your phone or anything like that. They looked at that group that went to placebo and the regain. And not everybody regained a lot of weight. So 17% of people were able to maintain. The point is 17% of people were essentially able to not regain much weight.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they broke it up into different categories. So 33% of people regained, 25% of people regained somewhere between 25 and 50% of the weight. 33% of people regained between 50 and 75% of the weight. And then 25% of people regained more than 75% of the weight. And when you look on it, in that paper, did you look at the waterfall plot by any chance?
No, I didn't see that
the
one.
The individual stuff. I really think these waterfall plots are cool. I like to talk about it with exercise all the time, how different people
it have shows
different responses. Yeah, so now maybe you can see this now. Can you see what I'm talking about now, or is it not progressing?
Oh, there it is. Yeah, it looks like some people gained more.
Yeah, so this is really interesting. So if you look now on the bottom left, you can see 3.9% of people kept losing more weight. So I like to tell people that there are those who maybe they don't have as bad of a disease pathology. Yeah. And we've always known this. We've always said, based on what we could tell from the studies, about 15% of people maybe can stop. So this is supportive of that. Well, apparently 4% of people just needed really some education and some therapy to help them get onto the right track, and they keep losing weight. Unfortunately, if you look in the kind of the upper right-hand part of this waterfall plot, almost 9% of people regained not only all of their weight, but they kept gaining more weight. And then the kind of the gist of the rest of the study was, with the weight regain come the metabolic health problems like blood pressure, blood sugar, and triglycerides. But you can see how different all those individuals are. So anybody listening and looking at this, a waterfall plot shows every single person across the board, and in this case, their weight regain, a little bit of weight loss on the left, all the way up through the spectrum of regain to those who regained even more than what they lost.
So there you go, people. It's not as nuanced as everybody needs to stay on. It's not as nuanced that people can come off. It's rare in both cases, but our general stance is that, like, look, if you want to come off, we'll try to help you come off. Most likely you'll have to stay on some form or fashion of the medicine. This doesn't show like people able to go on very low doses right. to maintain.
Yeah.
So I've had people that had to stay at the highest dose. I've had some people that can spread it out beyond a week. I've had some people just be on very low doses and keep it off. It has to do with the biological pushback that, if you want to listen to that, with Dr. Kevin Hall, the physicist, the nutritional physicist that goes over the metabolic ward data.
Yeah, I like the spring analogy, if you want to mention that.
Yeah, that's what I used in my little Instagram video. I didn't come up with that. It's Kevin's. And actually, I don't even know if it's his exactly. There's a lot of people that have used that before. But very good stuff. Okay, the other cool thing about this is that there are non-weight, there are cardiometabolic markers. And most everybody who regained had worsening of their cardiometabolic markers. However, even the people that kept all their weight off had increases in their blood pressure. And if you understand tirzepatide physiology, there is about a third of it has weight-independent effects on blood pressure. We see this often when people start the medicine, they start getting dizzy without much change in their weight. So just kind of an interesting thing that, like, if you had these blood pressure improvements, if you come off the medicine, and even if you don't regain the weight, you may not have worsening of there are some actually worsening of the blood sugar, I think a little bit. Well, but
and to be clear, if you have type 2 diabetes, be very, very understanding that these are not just obesity medications. They were originally investigated and researched because they have the name incretin because of how they improve the pancreas ability to respond to blood glucose when you're eating and making your insulin go up and improving your blood sugar. They are the most robust blood sugar lowering medications we have in type 2 diabetes. So absolutely, even if you do really well with your weight off of these medications in type 2 diabetes, there's a very high probability that your blood sugar is going to go back up. Not everybody, don't get me wrong, because we can put diabetes into remission too. It's very difficult. But be cautious, be understanding. Again, it comes back to individualized approach. What I always tell people, I show them the slide and I say, whatever you do, if you want to try going off of it, we just have to stay engaged. Don't show up a year later and have regained all your weight. Yeah. And I even use an example. I have when I give these talks around places, I have a slide, or I have a patient case where he's got like the highest risk of pre-diabetes, but no diabetes criteria. He responds well. He gets some side effects. He shows up a year later after being off of it and he regains all his weight. Now he has type 2 diabetes and he had a heart attack. That's an extreme example. I'm just saying we don't want that to happen.
That's why we have constant contact with our patients. Like, that's whatever we do, just stay in contact. Let's monitor closely and intervene when we can. So there you have it, folks. Make sure you give us a 5-star rating. Tell everybody how much you love us on your Spotify and your Apple. If you're listening to this, it helps us with the rankings. And
somebody to sponsor us.
share this with a friend, get Novo and Lily to sponsor this, maybe some of the new places like Metsera.
Oh God, here we go.
And
so, we're just going to go down the, we're going to sign pharma, fine.
Boehringer.
I can, and Mr. Peanut, for the love of God, Planters, can you guys sponsor us, please?
No, they don't care. I don't care. Like, he's got a monocle. He doesn't have money back.
I want to be a shield for Mr.
All right. Here is our outro. Share this with a friend, family member who's thinking about oral Wegovy and thinking about coming off Zepbound. Here you go.
This podcast is for entertainment and education and information purposes only. Remember, the physicians on this podcast are not your physician. It should not be considered professional or personalized medical advice. It should not be used to replace speaking with your physician or medical professional to discuss your specific health concerns. The topics discussed should not be used solely to diagnose or treat any condition. As a result, we are not responsible for any unwanted medical outcomes. The views and opinions discussed are of those of the host only and do not represent those of any other entities. We'll be right back.